Welcome to Why Don't We Dress for Dinner Anymore? With a co-host, Teddy Crockman, senior style icon, back in black.
And Melissa Pierce, entrepreneur and natural redhead. Today, we'd like to welcome our guest, Astrid Palka. Astrid has a very unique professional resume in that Astrid is a physician and cover girl who has appeared on the cover of magazines, including Harper's Bazaar US edition, The Hollywood Magazine, GQ, and Forbes Canada. Born in Berlin in 1966, Astrid's remarkable life journey led her to Switzerland, where she has lived for over 30 years with her American husband, a former ballet dancer, and her 21-year-old son. Astrid is a general practitioner with expertise in insurance medicine. Moreover, she just started her modeling career in her late 40s, which began because of a video produced by her company.
What?
In addition to her successful Instagram page, which currently has 160,000 followers. According to an article in Hollywood Magazine, Astrid is not about following societal norms, but rather views her modeling as a celebration of all the layers of her personality. Welcome to the podcast, Astrid.
Hello, I'm happy to be here.
We're happy to have you.
We're so excited.
You know, what really interested me is, Astrid, of course, your beautiful photographs on Instagram and the covers that you've printed, etc. But the fact that you have such a blooming modeling career at an age when we wouldn't think of people as being models, let alone cover girls on Harper's Bazaar US. I mean, you can't get much bigger than that, you know. So the question would be, because you have this diverse background being a physician and then a model, how were you even approached to become a model in your late 40s?
What was this video? How?
The video was made by my company, and we needed new doctors, and they wanted to go a new way to find new colleagues. And the idea was we have to show what we are doing, and they wanted to make a little video, and I was chosen as the testimonial. And I had so much fun the day when we were doing the video production. It was very professional, and I had fun acting. Actually, it was not acting because it was real me.
It was you doing your job, right?
Yes, really. Yeah. We showed what we are doing and a little bit the our rooms and our colleagues and everything, and I had to give short statements, and then they showed the video when it was ready to our other colleagues and to the company, and and they told me, I hope Hollywood is calling because they were so happy about my performance. And I was really, ooh, that looked really fantastic, and I was happy about it. And we really found some new colleagues. That was the,
wait. That so was you the, found new colleagues and a new career.
Yes,
additional career.
Yes, that was the beginning, and I started photo shooting, and I found someone who is very creative, and we did photo shoots together, and then I went on Instagram, and I was always a little shy because I had to think about my company, and I thought, okay, I can't go so far and don't put myself into this window because I have a serious job. But I was, I got a little bit more brave with the time because the photo shoots were more and more, and results were really fantastic. And with Instagram, it really, that developed in a way I would never expect before.
So did you get your modeling jobs through Instagram? I mean, did agencies or companies DM you, or how did that the modeling jobs start to come about?
Also, did you think it was a joke at first? Because you're a physician, so you must have been like, oh, come on.
Yeah, I was, I wanted to keep it a little bit low profile first, but then I thought, okay, if I use this media, I have to go out and show the work I do, and I got more brave, and I always got fantastic feedback and never something bad or comments that put me down.
When you say more brave, what does that mean in reality? Like, what was a more brave thing to do?
Yeah, to show more photos, put more photos on Instagram, and it from a point on, it really kind of exploded. So it developed in a way I would never expect when I went on this platform in some years ago. So that was really something unexpected. And beside this, I started with a modeling agency, but I'm not there anymore. I changed to another one. But I have to say, I'm most freelance, and I think I'm more successful with a freelance.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes you're better off without the agency, because then they're constantly telling you what you can and can't do, you know.
Exactly.
Now, being a physician, like you said, it's a very serious career. And we all know, at least in the States, and I'm sure it's not any different in Switzerland, it's a very busy career. Usually it's kind of, early in the morning till sometimes late at night. So how do you balance your physician duties with modeling shoots that can take all day long as well too?
Yeah, I'm busy all the time. That's the point. And I work 100%. And so the modeling jobs are at the weekend. Hmm. So I have a seven days week, and I have to put everything in this week, and sometimes I have to take a day off for something.
Yeah.
Right, which is what you were telling me before we started. You took a few days off because you just needed sleep.
Yes.
but you prefer your life this way. You prefer it to be this full. This is what I'm guessing. Yes. Okay.
It was always this way. It was always, when I went to school, I did a lot of music, and this group was was very time intensive, and so I was busy with school and my music group, and I know my life was always like this, busy. Yeah, but I love it. It's cool.
You like it. It's cool, and you're not slowing down.
Can you tell us a little bit more about, because being on a cover of a magazine is like the ultimate modeling job. I mean, it's one thing to be modeling at an older, more mature age, which, like I said, most of the time we think of models as being in their late teens, early 20s. You know, that's the majority of the fashion models we see. And you've been on quite a few covers. How do they approach you to be on the cover? Do they just call you up and say, Astrid, we'd like you to be on the cover of Harper's Bazaar magazine? I mean, how did that even come about? How did being on the cover of Harper's Bazaar, tell us a little bit about how that even happened.
They contacted me, and I have to see. And they're really high-class magazines, and I thought, my God, that this is really cool. And I think the coolest of all was the Forbes or GQ Canada, and also Cosmopolitan United Arab Emirates. I was on in November, and they contacted me, and they sent me questions for interviews, and I can send them a collection of my photos, and they choose the best ones. Yeah.
So in other words, you take your own photos, or you photograph?
It's the modern day comp card. Then you're sending them your photos. So did you go for a photo shoot to the UAE?
No, I sent them photos.
You just sent those photos.
I have a fantastic photographer in Italy, Maurizio Mazzani, and he does my editorial shoots.
Wait a minute. So you're in Switzerland. Your photographer's in Italy. You're taking photos for the UAE. Did your photographer travel to you, or did you go to Italy?
I go to Italy twice a year, and we shoot
editorial.
Editorial shootings. What? Yeah.
So, modeling is so different. And what, you're 59?
Holy, didn't you just turn 59 this year, Astrid?
Yes, in January.
Yeah. So yeah.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, thank you.
now I noticed are most of the covers that you do, are they attached to an article about you as well too? So is it usually like you're not just doing the cover, but then there's usually an article about your life in the magazine as well, too?
Yes.
Right. Because everyone loves a beautiful, strong,
physician,
talented woman who's saving the world. Right. What's not to love?
I think it's also not because of the photos. I think it's an interesting story, and nobody expects. Expect a 59-year-old woman.
Let alone a 59-year-old just woman, let alone a 59-year-old physician.
Physician to be a cover girl on a magazine.
Absolutely.
Right. I mean, but we should. We really should. At this point, we should not be surprised. We have interviewed so many incredible women.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing. Like Melissa said, as we go through our podcast guests, we've interviewed so many amazing women who've had wonderful careers and started brand new careers in their late 40s, mid 50s. You know, we're so amazed by it because I think at least in the United States, and you could tell us how it is in Europe, but at least in the United States, we still struggle with ageism here, especially for women. You know, it's like once you hit 40, you know, people kind of like, oh, okay, well, your heyday is gone. Your big time is gone. Now step aside for the younger girls. You kind of feel like you're being pushed aside. Yet we're finding now that there are a lot of women in more advanced ages who are doing incredible things in the fashion and beauty space. And so that's why Melissa and I are just kind of shocked all the time, because we're so used to a lot of the information that we've been inundated with for years. And yet we're finding women who are crossing all kinds of boundaries and just creating fabulous lives at advanced ages of 55, 60, 70, whatever. You know, we just interviewed a woman in the U.S. here who was the highest selling tele-retailer. She would sell her clothes on television, on home shopping, and she's almost 80 years old.
And she's still doing amazing things.
Yeah. So it just amazes us. It really does. Can you tell us, because you have such beautiful photographs and covers, did you take any kind of classes to learn how to be natural in front of the camera? Because I know a lot of people, you know, when they take a picture, they just smile and that's it. You know,
me included. And I used to model in my teens, and now I can't take a picture to save my life.
But there's a difference between runway modeling and photographic modeling.
Oh, sure. Well, photographic modeling, I suck at, but I also sucked as a runway model. Just so you know. I was bad at both.
She was bad. According to her, I've never seen any of her stuff. But did you take any kind of classes, or how did you learn how to move in front of the camera and look naturally kind of glamorous? Was there any classes attached to that? Is it just a natural ability of yours? Can you just tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes, I think I was dancing a lot in my life. And I think if you are a dancer, you know how to move in front of the camera. And I think every photo shooting is, for me, it's kind of learning. It's interaction, communication with the photographer, and you have to feel free and just think the camera is the eye of the photographer, and you have to take away all the things,
inhibitions.
Yes, that inhibits you, and be free, move, and show emotions. And last year, I really did some. I went to Coco Rocha model camp, and that was really intensive training.
Wait, do you have to tell me? Were you the oldest model there?
No.
No.
No,
wait, no, really? At a modeling training camp?
I thought so. No, there were models in their 60s, end of 60s, and we were four, and I was the youngest of the older models.
Wow. So,
yeah. Well, my, how the tides have turned.
Yes.
Do I have to ask, dancing? You said you danced a lot and that helped, but your husband is a ballet, or was a ballet dancer. I'm assuming still dances.
Yes.
Were you also formally trained dancer, or are you like, no, I'm going out nightclubs in Berlin dancing? Like, what's happening?
Both. I took lessons. I did everything, a little bit classic, jazz dance. I did Latin dance, and I even was in Rio at the carnival in the 90s, and I went with the samba school at the Desfilar. And
if you have photos, you have to send us one of the photos of you dancing in Rio.
I don't have any, because
well, we're gonna just imagine it then.
Yeah. No, I have some pieces of my old costume I can show you. I can send you a photo.
All right.
No, I took some pieces with me home, and I can tell you, at the airport they treated it like a treasure.
Oh.
in a rubbish bag. I put everything in and took it like a big, like the crown of the queen.
You have the crown of the queen in a trash bag at going through security at the airport. That's fantastic. I love it so much.
So funny.
I love it.
Yes.
Well, Astrid, how would you describe your personal style? Have you always been interested in fashion?
Yes, this started with my mom. She was sewing a lot, and I was her little model for her creations. And so we were always dressed nice and properly in the 70s. And that was the beginning. And I think then in the 80s, fashion was something, very important for us as teenagers, to get styled, wild hair, big earrings, and
I still love big earrings. I still put on big earrings every now and then.
But today I have just small ones, and I have the same ones like you.
The hoops,
big drops from
these,
like teardrops.
They're beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are.
These were actually given to me to show on Instagram. That's the one good thing. Do you ever, I never noticed, do you ever promote any products on your Instagram? Do people reach out to you and say, oh, Astrid, would you mind? Like, for example, I was given these earrings to model. I've been given other pieces of jewelry to model. Do you do that kind of stuff on Instagram too?
I get a lot of questions about it, and I avoid it because I want to be independent.
Yeah.
I want to be a little bit creative, and art photography and this style. If I start promoting too much things, it could also interfere with my job. And so
You separate them out.
And you're not trying to necessarily build an entire brand out of your modeling career. It's just something you do in addition to meaningful work.
Yes. And the branding should be about me and not about
different products and things like that. Yeah.
About the things.
Yeah. I like getting the free goods.
But I will only pick
things that I would buy myself. I won't promote anything that I would never wear myself. I've worn these earrings a million times because I like them, you know, so so I would, you know, do that, but I don't do a lot, you know. I get asked for a lot more than I actually do, because I'm not going to just show somebody's junky sweater just because, you know.
Right. And also, you're at a very different time in your life, though, too, right? You've got your physician's careers. Teddy is retired.
Yeah.
And she was just like, let me try to do this Instagram fashion modeling thing. Right? And now she'll be the next Harper's Bazaar USA cover model. Whomever hooked you up with that, Teddy is available, and she's fabulous.
I'm available. I'm available every day.
She's retired. She's schedule.
I'm constantly available, Melissa. My whole life is available.
So many people, though, have said their mother is the person that got them into fashion.
Yeah,
and
that
I
is
love
interesting.
That. They're like, oh, my mom used to sew.
Right.
Always we hear that, and I wonder what, like,
yeah,
what my daughters are going to say, because I definitely have a sewing machine, but they're not going to say my mom used to make all the clothes. No.
But what, were you a fashion influence on them? Like my mom was, you know. I would definitely say a lot of women that we've talked to, when we ask them, you know, how did you get your interest in fashion, or what's your fashion style, or almost universally, they point to their mothers.
Yeah.
I mean, I can rarely remember anybody who didn't say somehow that the mom or some important woman in their life was a springboard to their love of fashion.
No, I think my 18-year-old is going to be like, it was Barbie.
Uh-huh.
And my 19-year-old is going to be like, it was from watching all of that anime, because she dresses like a pirate.
Oh,
so I've got a pirate and a, like a very pink princess.
I don't know. Needless to say, very creative children.
Yes. Like, maybe I didn't have an influence.
She did. She definitely did.
Yeah.
How would you say that you, how would you describe how the women in general dress in Switzerland? One of the things that we focus on in this podcast, and that therefore the title, Why Don't We Dress for Dinner Anymore? Melissa and I were talking at an event one time, and I just looked around the room and I said, you know, you have to come to these fashion events to really see people bringing, you know, fashion and really dress. Nowadays, you go to restaurants and people look like they're going to go barbecue in the backyard or something. So it's very, the dress here in the United States has become ultra, ultra casual, you know, almost to the point where, and then of course, since COVID, a lot of people even work remotely from home, so they don't feel like they need to get dressed because they're in their own home. How would you say, how would you compare that to how women dress in Switzerland? Would you say it's ultra casual there as well too, or do people get dressed up for special events? Do they, like here, you can go to the opera and somebody will be wearing blue jeans and carrying a backpack, you know?
Right. Or where, we go out to dinner in leggings. Are women going out to dinner in leggings in Switzerland? I need to know.
It depends where you live. When you go to Zurich, the women are more classy and they really dress up nice for events and for dinner. And but when you go out a little bit more in the morning on the, and when you're waiting for your train, I think, do people go to work or are they go hiking? They have this functional hiking outfits all the time.
Oh, so you don't know where they're going. Are they going to work? No. Are they going hiking? You don't know. So it's very simple. I'm always like, are these people going to work in their yoga clothes?
Some maybe yoga clothes, or maybe the outdoor outdoor attire to they go to work. And sometimes I think I don't know if they go into the office or if they go into the mountains, and they dress the same. And I think this is something that we lost some style over the years, and I think we especially during the COVID time, we really lost it.
Yeah.
So, well, people show up to your office? Are they showing up looking like they're going hiking? Your patients? Are you allowed to say that?
Some of the patients, yes, because they're not in good situations and they don't have a lot of money and they maybe are in a bad situation, but sometimes also my colleagues, they always have this check pattern shirts and outdoor pants, and I think, guys, you're
oh, like those plaid shirts from like the grunge era, the flannel-y.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, I got it. They're wearing flannel. Her colleagues, I assume, other physicians.
Not all. I have some ladies that still dress nice, and when they go into the office, they look that they look really beautiful and are a little bit creative about the style and even wear a hat or a nice coat and nice shoes, but it's really different.
So it can go from very well dressed to kind of really casual.
Yes.
Right. There's no
set kind of way of dressing.
You have everything. And I think Switzerland has different parts. If you go in the south, they speak Italian and they are more stylish because it's a little bit more the Italian flair. And if you go to the west, Geneva is near to France. I think they have a better style, but in between, in the country or out of Zurich, it's somehow, I think, oh my God.
Anything goes.
Would you say Zurich has more German influence to it?
I think it's a business style. They have a lot of bankers and they have a dress code. So you see this. And I think it's business influence.
Okay.
And Zurich is international. They have a lot of French speaking, high German speaking, English speaking people.
You made this distinction. So high German, is there low German or common German?
No.
Or are they all on drugs? I need to know.
Are they high Germans? They're walking around high.
It's the language without an accent in Germany. So the written German is
high German in that
German way. And Switzerland has their own language. It's Swiss German. So. Yes, it's
so. Is Swiss German is not High German?
No, it's completely
different. So you hear someone speaking High German, you know they were educated in a certain way.
Yes, they're from Germany. There are a lot of people
from
Germany living in Switzerland. And also, my colleagues, we are half from Germany, and the other half is we are Swiss colleagues, and we also have. One colleague from Austria, one is Italian, then we had a Spanish, I have one from Turkey, from Kosovo, so we are international.
Very diverse kind of workplace.
Yeah.
Super interesting.
Well, just we always ask, this is one question we ask all of our guests. So in closing, we want to ask you this question as well too, Astrid. What is your favorite era or eras in fashion and why?
Oh, I think these are the 20s, 1920s, the flapper girls.
Oh.
The dresses and the pearl necklaces and the short hair. And,
yeah.
I love this era. I love it.
Do you like it because you feel that it's very avant-garde, glamorous? What is it in particular that draws you to that particular look? Because in the 20s, don't forget, that's when the hemlines started really coming up.
No, that's right.
You know, and
showing off those legs.
Yeah, showing off the legs.
And the yams.
And the rolled down stockings and the rouge knees and the whole thing. So what was it about that particular look that you liked? Because it was also a very straight up and down silhouette. You know, Hanover dresses were very straight up and down. They were not, it was for the most part. Well, in the 30s, it was more body shape.
Boyish cuts.
Yeah.
Short skirts, rolled down stockings, rouge on the knees, which I'm 100% bringing back this spring. Teddy, we're going to do it.
I don't want to rouge these wrinkles up me.
We're going to rouge the hell out of our knees. Astrid, you're coming too. Rouge your knees.
But what was it in particular about that style that attracts you, that you like that?
I think it was completely something new. It was kind of a revolution and the liberation of women. So they came out and they partied, and that was the big time in Berlin. Berlin was was the city in the 20s. There was a lot of parties going on, and I think that was the first liberation movement of women, and it was in a very glamorous way.
Yeah.
I love this era.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You know, I never thought of it in that way, but the 20s was really kind of the start of a revolution in the way women dressed.
Because
before that, it was almost always, you know, floor-length dresses. The woman was pretty much covered from head to toe, and all of a sudden, and of course they always just let their hair grow however long it got, put it up or whatever. This was bobbed hair, so they revolted in a way by cutting their hair mannish style.
Exactly.
But the short dresses, the shimmy, you know, fringe on their clothes. You're right, Astrid. It was kind of like the precursor to the feminist movement. It was women also asking for the vote, not asking, demanding for the vote in this country.
Right, in this country. And this was some post-wars. I mean, women had just like worked on like wearing pants, getting degrees. Yeah. Degrees had happened at the end of the 18th
century, right.
Really pushing for an
education. A woman could actually go to college.
Right. It was like that push for education. Yeah. It was right before this right to work started happening. And it was this feeling that anything could happen.
Well, you know, that makes sense, Astrid, because you yourself are kind of a revolutionary woman in the mid part of your life, you started a fabulous modeling career in addition to being a physician, which is a very highly demanding, highly scientific, you know, profession. So I can see where you appreciated the 20s, because that seems to capture your spirit, that you're kind of a revolutionary in and of yourself, because you don't fit into the box of just the professional physician or the professional model. You're kind of fluid in between.
Yeah. I feel like she's dancing her way through her life.
There you go.
That flapper and that dancing. I was like, oh, that dancing has really helped a lot of things.
Yes, I think that's something I really like, how you express it.
It all comes together now. Well, thank you so much, Astrid. You've been a delightful guest on our show, and we wish you the best of luck. We're going to keep following you on Instagram and looking at more and more of your beautiful pictures and covers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is there anything that we should know of that's coming up? Can we look out for your face somewhere?
I have a new magazine, a German magazine from Berlin. It's coming out in the next 2 weeks, and I have something professional. I will finish my master in insurance medicine, and my final exam will be in 3 weeks. And I'm so happy about this.
Yeah,
I did a huge master thesis, and I was working on this baby for years, and now it came to an end. And
I'm so excited for you.
Yeah. Well, congratulations. It sounds like you have a lot of exciting things coming up. And we'll be looking for your next covers or modeling jobs, whatever you do. Right. We'd love to follow you. Can you tell our Can you tell our listeners what your Instagram handle is? And we'll also link it in the bottom of the podcast thing too.
It's at my name, Astrid Palka.
Okay.
Just easy.
So it's just Astrid Palka.
My name.
Okay, fantastic. And then just email us whatever publication, the Berlin publication is, so we can link it as well, because that's very exciting.
It will be a little bit different than the other ones, because I chose pictures from a German photographer, because I thought, okay, this is matching really.
So we can compare and contrast. Yeah. What do the Italians look for versus the German?
Really, a little different style, but also very nice. And wow. I like the photographer, Peter Müller.
And very nice.
It's nice to support him in this way as well.
All right.
Well thank you so much, Astrid. You've been a wonderful guest. We loved having you
by. Melissa, thank you so much. It was a pleasure to be here. And that was my very first podcast.
There you go. Well, you did great.
You did great. Thank you so much.
And I just have one question for Melissa. Yeah. Melissa, why don't we dress for dinner anymore?
I don't know, Teddy. Why don't